Hello again, this is Bob Patterson, publisher of Street Photography Magazine, and welcome to the Feature Photographer interview for November 2018. And this month, our featured photographer is Elena Baroni. She is originally from Verona, Italy, and she's lived all over the place, lived in the U.S. and Vancouver. Now she's living in Toronto, where she's working as an executive assistant. She's going to school to become a graphic designer. She's really busy. Plus, she's a freelance photographer, and she keeps busy doing portraits and weddings. And she's just a darn fine street photographer. And I tell you, she's been published in all over the place, National Geographic, The Atlantic, many others. She's got lots of awards, too many to mention, several exhibits. I could go on and on, but Elena, thank you for being with us and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
Yes. We've been waiting for this for a long time. She submitted a photo to the magazine back in the spring of this year. And when I saw it, I said, this is someone we need to have on. And we tend to book these out pretty far in advance. So I appreciate your patience for waiting so long, but you know, I'm glad we got you on here. Before we get into things, why don't you just give us some of your background and tell us, I mean, how you got into photography in general and how you got into street photography of all things?
Well, I always liked images since I was very, very young, and I always had a lot of curiosity about the world, and growing up in a small city or a small town, like I was always curious to go and explore the world and see what was outside of my front door. To me, street photography is a way to capture a moment and to capture the world, how it goes by. And I think what I love about street photography is how natural and spontaneous it is. So I think that's why I got into street photography, because that's what I really, really like. I like spontaneity, and I think that's the reason why I got into street photography, because that's what I like. And I like, I'm very curious as a person, and I like action, and I love walking. And by going around with my camera and taking pictures on the street is really, it really makes me happy. I feel very fulfilled by it.
That's a great description. Now, you do a lot of weddings. And you do street photography. I think there's a lot of parallels between the two. And I think, how does being a street photographer affect your wedding photography and vice versa?
Well, I wouldn't say that I do a lot of weddings. I've done weddings. Wedding is, there's a lot of like candid shot that you have to try to take. But also there's a lot of shot that you plan ahead, like you choose a location, and there's a lot of thinking behind it, and there's also a lot of organization that you have to do when you have to deal with like a big group of people and trying to get everybody ready and have the right expression and trying to make them look natural as possible. Unfortunately, like one downside of like taking picture of adults is that every time you put a camera in front of them, they always think, oh my God, am I going to look good? Am I going to look bad? Am I going to look like something that I usually don't look like? They're not spontaneous like children's are. Weddings, taking picture of weddings allows me to do other things that I wouldn't be able to do. With photography, it allows me to travel. It allows me to meet different people and create contacts. Weddings are fun. There's, you know, usually there's always a good atmosphere. You know, you're there to celebrate somebody's love, somebody else's life, and And I like that. I like to connect. I like to share those feelings. And so that's why I do weddings on the side, because it allows me to do other things and allows me to create contacts with people.
Yeah, and I also see you're studying to be a graphic designer.
Yes.
So what do you plan to do with that when you're done?
Well, my plan is to be able to become a designer. I'm going through a lot of personal changes, and as much as I enjoy what I do during the day, but I don't see myself being an executive assistant for the rest of my life. I need to do something that is more meaningful to me, and that's why I decided that I needed a career change. And I feel like I can incorporate my photography and my artistic side with graphic design. And I'm really enjoying graphic design, although it's really hard to work and study, but I feel every time I'm come home at 11 a.m. at night from a class, I feel so hyper, but I feel so fulfilled because I feel that I'm doing something that will bring me to a better future.
And you mentioned that. You said it was time for a change. I think we all have to reinvent ourselves every now and then.
Yes.
You know, it's you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over.
That's right. And you know what? I'm trying to be grateful. I'm grateful for everything I have. I'm grateful that I have a full-time job. I'm grateful that my coworkers are nice people, and I admire my boss. He's very young. He's very driven, and I'm trying to learn something from everybody. Has something to teach, and you also have to be realistic of what really makes you happy. And that's why I'm trying to, you know, trying to be a good employee during the day, trying to be a good a student during the in the evening. And at the end of the day, it's been an executive assistant is a job that does not fulfill me as much as it used to. So that's why I'm stepping little by little, stepping away from it.
I think that's very healthy. I think it's always a good idea to stay fresh.
Yes.
So you're learning graphic design, you're learning the elements of design, you know, color, shape, form. So now that you're purposely learning these things, how has that affected your photography and your compositions?
It does. It makes me think a little bit outside of the box. And I mean, there are some very similar rules that that graphic design applies and photography applies. Just example is the rule of third and, you know, a line. Let's say you're taking a picture of a person, like you're trying to like place the side of the eye along one of the intersection points. And graphic design does a lot of this. It's a lot of composition. I feel like photography is helping me to be a better graphic designer. And it helped me because I feel like when it comes to composing and making things look pretty is something that I always had. I see myself, my photography, I see myself, I'm a very minimalistic. I do like colors. I like a lot of contrast, but I don't like a lot of things going on. I feel like I'm trying to find something, an object that is very interesting and trying to find the best angle to take the pictures. I feel like photography is helping my graphic design.
You have some really interesting compositions in your portfolio. Obviously, you've been doing that longer than you've been a student.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. For example, I like to talk about people's particular photographs when we can, and you've got some really beautiful ones. I encourage everybody to look at Elena's website. It's very well done. Very simple. I'm scanning through some photos here. I want to get to a particular one. Your very first photograph in your color gallery. And I do like how you basically have two galleries. You have color and black and white. Very simple. Again, minimalist. I think it pays off. So what I'm interested in is when you see something, something catches your attention and you want to photograph it. And I think it's probably easier if I use a particular example. The very first photo in your color gallery is a stairway, a blue stairway. I don't know if you remember taking this or not, but for example, what goes through your mind when you see something like that where you know this is something you need to photograph?
I believe you're talking about a picture that I've taken in Havana, which is one of my favorite cities in the whole world. Well, I do, for that particular example, what caught my eyes were all those lines and those beautiful colors. I felt there was a lot of character. You know, it's a lot of like oldie worldy kind of thing. And I'm drawn through lines. If you can see through my photos, they're very geometrical. And I think that's what caught my attention in that picture, is all those lines and, you know, from the stairs and coming down. And also, you know, the beautiful blues and the old rusty paint coming out from the walls. But I think it's about the lines.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm also drawn to lines. Somehow it just captures my attention. And I always want to make photographs of those lines and the patterns they make. But then I think, gee, I'm always drawn to this one thing. Am I getting boring by doing that? Should I be looking for something different or just go with what it is that attracts me? What do you think?
I feel like you should do what works best for you. I tend to ask myself the same question. Like, I feel like sometimes I always shoot the same way, but that's my style. That's what attracts me. That's what I like. And I feel like I like to interplay with light and space. And I don't know if I can actually give you some advice in that, because I feel like you just have to do what works best for you. And I don't know. I like shadows. I like lines. I like big contrasts, and that is my style. That's what I do best. And I think that's why people have hired me for my particular style, not for anything else.
Sure. That's how you see the world.
That's right. Maybe I'm very geometrical or something, but
I mean, that's how you see the world, so you're sharing that with the rest of us. But let me back up. Sorry, I was getting off track. I was asking about this one photograph, and I'm just using it as an example. So when you see a scene like that, and yeah, this one is beautiful. The light is amazing, and the lines or, you know, the patterns it creates are very interesting. And so when you see that, do you just stop in the doorway, take one shot, and move on? Or do you spend time in there and really work the scene and approach it from different angles?
No, I usually take my time. Absolutely. For example, in that shot, there was a lot of rubbish on the floor because it was an abandoned place. So I kind of had to some time to remove it. And mm-hmm. But I try to take shot from different angles. Unless, you know, at least for those kind of places, for building, for something that is still. When I take pictures of somebody on the street, usually it's a fraction of a second. You don't really have much time to think No. To think about that. But I usually, yes, I take my time. And sometimes I even go back on the day after to see, you know, actually, let me step back. You know, once I take a photo, mm-hmm. I look at them in the evening. And then if I feel like, okay, I'm not satisfied, I usually, if I feel really strong about that place, I feel like I'll probably most likely go back on the day after and try to take pictures in a different way.
It's one of the luxuries of living in a big city and shooting in that city. You can go back.
Yes.
If you're a tourist and you're just passing through, you can't.
Yes. Well, unless you go and travel by yourself, like what I do most of the time. And that's why I like to go by myself, because I can create my schedule. And that's what I do. I usually just start in the morning and I'm done at night. That's my holiday, taking pictures.
Oh, that's great. Yes. I know it's hard when you're with somebody else who happens to not be a photographer, and you want to stop and take several shots and clear some garbage out of the way or whatever, and they're going, are you done yet? How many pictures are you going to take of that thing?
Yes.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah, I remember one time I went to Mallorca with my parents, and I remember taking so many photos, and so my dad is very funny, so he made this joke saying, Elena, if there's going to be an earthquake in this place, they're going to be able to rebuild the city exactly, thanks to your pictures, exactly how it was, because they're just going to look at your photos, since you're taking pictures of every single angle of this place. So I'm like, yeah, you're probably right.
I left a card in my camera for like a month.
Okay.
And finally uploaded it the other day. There were 500 photos on there. And 99.9% of them were worthless. And I got depressed. I said, oh my God, look at all these terrible photos. That probably doesn't happen to you. All of yours are probably great.
I don't know. I would say that a lot of them, they're not. I mean, I take a lot of pictures. Usually when I go out with my camera, I don't say, okay, I go out and shoot. I just go out and take notes. That's what I say. And I don't always take great pictures. I don't expect to always take pictures. Like in an ideal world, in my dream world, I wish I could take great shots every single time, but that doesn't happen. It's just really unrealistic. I go out, you know, I feel like I take notes, I do the best as I can, and if I take a good shot, fine. If I don't, I'll, you know, there's always going to be another day when I can take another good shot. But I don't always take great photos. But yes, they probably are better than the average person, but yeah, I don't feel like I always take great pictures. I'm also a little, I feel like I'm a little hard on myself, because I'm always expecting to be, okay, maybe I could take this better. But I'm trying to learn to be, as I told you, I'm going through a lot of changes with myself, and I'm trying to be a bit more easy and loving myself more for what I do, because I do good work at the end of the day, and people see that, and it gives me a lot of joy and to see that there are people that really think that what I do is good.
Yeah, I guess photography is really about failure. I mean, you're going to fail more than you succeed, and you have to give yourself permission to fail.
Yes, and you know, my philosophy is, you know, just go out, be kind, ask if there is some, if you want to take a picture of somebody, ask them. And most likely you're going to hear a no, most likely, because we live in a world that nowadays they say, what are you going to do with that photo? Are you going to sell it? And that's okay. I understand their position, but you always have to ask. I feel like there are some people who go outside and just take pictures and they don't even ask permission. And, you know, I feel like you're just violating another person, and it's not fair. And when I went to Cuba, you know, every time I take a picture of a person, I ask them and I even offer them money. And, you know, most likely they say yes. But at least I feel like, okay, well, I done my job, and nobody does nothing for free anymore, and that's okay, you know, but just ask and be kind.
I think it's so important to respect the people you're photographing. sometimes we get submissions every day, like you submitted your photographs several months ago. And we get many of them where people are taking advantage of the homeless or capturing people in very compromising and embarrassing positions. Mm-hmm. Those will never get in the magazine.
No.
Because they're not showing respect.
No, no. And they're human beings, you know. It's maybe is there a choice if they want to be there? Maybe it just happened. But I felt like the best way, ask them and offer them money. You know, they can go and buy some food or something. That's yeah. What I do. That's what I do. I don't expect them to say yes, and don't expect anything in return.
We record these interviews on Skype.
Yes.
Typically, we don't have the video on. Elena's got her video on, and I'm so glad you did. I should have turned mine on. Anyway, she's got some photographs behind her.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now, and this brings up an important question, because we don't have a lot of wall space in our homes. And I want to ask, are those photographs of yours on the wall?
No, those are all gifts. Well, one I purchased, the one from a train station in New York, the one with all the light coming in.
Yeah, Grand Central.
Yes, that's what I purchased. Then the turtle was a drawing that a friend of mine gave me because I love turtles. And the little blue village is a photo that a friend of mine purchased in Morocco. It's from a street artist. Basically, what he does, he makes paintings, and then he takes a picture of the painting, and then he sells the photograph.
Oh, that's neat.
And then the one, the illustration, the one with hand with the flowers, I also purchased on Etsy. It's from a Canadian artist from, where is she from? Somewhere, one of the province in the middle. I can't remember, Manitoba, I think. And then I got some others around on the other walls. But I have some photos are from me, but mainly when I go places, I like to purchase something from local artists and bring it home and then frame it. In August I went to Savannah in Georgia for 4 days, and I absolutely loved that place. It was so fantastic. Like very oldie worldy. People were very nice, and it was probably one of the best trip I had in the last few years. And I love that. I would love to go back again. It's one of those places in the world that, you know, when you travel, I usually try to get the sense of like, oh, would I live here? Would I want to come back here? Savannah was one of those places that I could totally live there. And I could see myself returning.
Savannah is a very interesting place.
Yes.
Been there many times. Shot a lot of photographs there. Yep. Oh, I'm glad you went there.
Yes.
You probably didn't go in July.
No, but I went at the end of August. Ooh. And yes, it was very, very hot.
Yeah.
And thank God I went right before the hurricane season.
Yeah.
But it rained a lot, but that's okay. I felt like I can find myself, I don't care how the weather is. I can still go. And I feel like, you know, you can find beauty, like even like in a place where it's just pouring, you know, it's just people with the umbrella and the raindrops. And there's always find a way to take a photo regardless. I think there is a beauty in raindrops, in anything around us. I can't wait for the snow to come here. They're saying it's going to start snowing very soon this year, so I just can't wait to go out and take pictures.
You can have it.
Yes.
I'm done with the snow. At least for a while. Well, I have to ask you this, because you're talking about shooting in the rain. What camera are you using? What kind of gear are you using to do street photography?
Well, I always had a full-frame Canon. But I recently sold it, and I purchased a Fuji X-T20 because of the size and how much lighter Fuji is. Unfortunately, I have vertigo, and which is a life condition that I've been living with for many years. Mm-hmm. And because by the Canon was so heavy, and I usually keep it around my neck. Mm-hmm. I was hurting my neck. So, because I don't want to give up photography, I never will. So, but I can change camera.
Oh, yeah.
And I decided to go with something much smaller, much more compact, and much easier to travel. And I also found that my Canon was so big, and the lenses that I were using were very big and very heavy. I was so noticeable.
Yeah.
So every time I was trying to take a pictures of something, even like a person walking by, I usually always created so much attention that I didn't want. So I felt like, okay, you know what? Maybe if I buy something that is a bit smaller, and maybe it'll be easier. You know what? It's been a good change. I love Fuji. It's an amazing little camera. It's very old school. People stop me on the street, ask me, this is actually an old film camera.
Yeah.
This is just made to look like old, but it's digital. And there are so many things that you can do with it. They have so many nice presetting, and the quality of the pictures is really good. So it was a good change. But once you change camera, you also have to change all the lenses.
Yeah.
So right now, process of buying more lenses, and the one that I buy, they're usually not that cheap, so little by little I have my new collection of lenses. Right now I have two. I like the 23mm, the 35mm, but I need to buy a wide angle.
I shoot with Fuji too, and as a matter of fact, I switched from Canon to Fuji, same thing. Although I did keep one body and one, mm-hmm. one of those super zoom lenses. I like the heft of a big camera if I'm shooting portraits in a studio.
Yes.
I use the X100F mainly on the street, and people will stop me and go, is that a Leica or is that film? Yeah, same thing. You know what? I don't even shoot RAW on the street. I just shoot JPEGs. They're so good.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. Yep.
You want a wide lens? I got the Samyang. It also goes by Rokinon, the 12mm. It's manual, but it's really nice, and it's very inexpensive.
Yes, no, it's the two lenses I have actually are from Fuji, but the next lens I'll buy, the wide angle, is probably, I think it's from Ronicon as well.
That's the same lens.
Great reviews, and it's a little cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot cheaper. And then I have the 16-55, which is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't use it much, mainly if I'm doing like documentary work or something. I like the Fuji too. But you know what? They're all good. You can't buy a bad camera nowadays.
No, even like I shoot with my phone very often too. You know, and it's a camera, you know, it's totally acceptable these days.
Yep.
Even I think the National Geographic now accept the pictures from the iPhone.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, it's a great camera in the right light. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with looking like a tourist.
That's right.
Speaking of tourists, okay, you went to Cuba. Looks like you went there a couple years ago. I'm going there, I leave in 2 weeks. So I'm going to Cuba, and we're going on a cruise, so I'm only going to be there 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So my fear is that it's been all photographed out. I mean, every photographer I've ever met has been to Cuba. Hopefully, the people there are still interested in being photographed. Now, I've only got 1 day in Havana. What's a must see or must do or a place where I must photograph?
Well, I actually been twice to Havana. I was there recently I went in April 2016, mm-hmm. and then I loved it so much that I had to go back. So I went back in May of this year. To me, it's just get lost. Just get lost, Havana. And you know what? The people are the most friendly, open people you could ever imagine. I went there by myself. I felt so safe. Nobody, there's no danger. No. People, they come up to me and say, take a picture of me. And they didn't expect anything. Like, they just, take a picture of me. Like, they're just so open. They're so friendly. So, always ask if you want to take a picture, but you'll probably do that. But it's, to me, it's like, just go get lost. Get lost in Havana.
That sounds great.
That's my advice.
How's your Spanish? You speak good Spanish?
No, but you know what? I speak Italian and English. With English, it goes a long way. I feel like a lot of people speak English these days, even in Havana. They're so used to tourists and they love Americans, regardless what, you know, all the problem that the country had. They love Americans. They were very, like, I went there, the first time I went there was in April, 2 years ago, when was all the talk was starting, you know, mm-hmm. to open with Obama and everything. And there was like, they were really excited. They were, the American flag was everywhere. And I think you're gonna love it. It's like Havana is one of those places that it's frozen into a capsule of, like, I feel like when you go there, you feel like you go back in time. Those, the old cars, those old buildings, the people are so genuine. It's just an incredible place.
Yeah, you're fortunate to be able to go there as a Canadian or as an Italian. Because when you're an American, we have these crazy rules we're supposed to follow that I still don't understand.
Yes.
And we're going on a cruise ship, and they take advantage of that, saying, no, you have to go on our cruise or you're going to get in trouble, or on our tour and you get in trouble, which I refuse to take their tours. I just want to go get lost.
That's right. Yeah, no, I feel like I don't want to say what you have to do in your life, but I feel like you should just get off the boat and just go for a walk with, I don't know if you're going with your wife or something, but just go and walk around the street of Havana. It's just the most beautiful place.
Yeah, that's cool. We're going there in Cienfuegos, mm-hmm. which is small.
There's one thing you cannot do in Havana, like in Cuba in general, you cannot blow your nose in public.
Okay.
Because it's considered really, really rude.
That's good to know.
Yes, I know. I was just reading, like, things to do and not to do, like, before I went. And that was the number one. Just don't blow your nose in public. It's considered very, very rude.
Wow. I hope it's not allergy season down there.
I know.
Yeah, I appreciate the advice. I'm asking you for all kinds of advice today.
That's good. I love to give advice if I can.
Yeah, and you're from Verona. That's one place I really want to visit. We're going back to Italy next fall. This time, actually.
Nice.
I'm a juror for the Siena International Photography Competition. And so finally, we're going to go to Siena for the event, which is this week every year, basically. And but we want to get up to your part of Italy,
mm-hmm.
and see. I hear that's really nice. There's not a lot of tourists. Is that true?
It's not. It is touristic, but it's not like going to Venice. Like,
yeah.
I'll never like that. Because usually when people go to Italy, you know, they usually go for a week or 2 weeks, and they, you know, obviously they pick to go. They go to Venice,
the big
obviously.
Three,
and I know, and Florence and Rome.
Yeah,
but it's a small little city. It's a very very nicely organized, very clean, very, very beautiful. It's a very, it's a pearl. And you can even go and see the Juliet house.
Oh, really?
There's the balcony. There is a statue of Juliet. And I don't know if I can say this, but you can touch. I don't know, remember. There's a statue of her. And you, if you touch either or the left or the right breast, it's for good luck. So make sure you do that as well.
Okay.
And then there's, before you enter her to get to the balcony, there is this this little tunnel where there is graffiti of people who've been there and declare their love. Like, there's a heart saying, like,
not really,
Bob loves whatever, or like Maria loves John, and it's all about love. It's all about poems, love.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a very nice little city, and there is an arena where they do concerts and a place as well, and food is nice, you know, and it's Italy. It's
I love it there.
And it's a nice little city.
That's what I've been told. But what? Go ahead.
If you want to go to a very special place, which it is becoming more touristic, if you go to Venice, you can take the ferry boat that goes to the little island of Burano, which is not Murano. Murano is, that's where they make the glass that it's famous for.
Yeah.
But Burano, to start with a B, it's a little island in the middle of a laguna. You can take the ferry boat from Venice, and it takes about 40 minutes to get there, and you get to see, you know, all around the laguna with the abandoned little islands, and then you get to this little place where the houses have all different colors. I'm sure if you Google image Burano, there is tons of images that you can see, but it's a very, very special place. And I love it there. It's probably one of my favorite places to go.
Yeah, you're making me feel bad because we were there a couple years ago. We went to Murano. And we thought, should we go to Burano? It looks kind of far. Maybe we'll go back tomorrow, and we didn't do it.
It's only an hour by train from Venice. It's not that far. Nothing is too far from Italy.
No, that's true. We just didn't do it. We should have. We were going to, and we didn't do it. So, next time. That's right. Although we're not going to Venice next time we go to Italy.
You go to a different part. You go to Tuscany. You can go and see the Cinque Terre. Like, you know, there is so much to see in Italy. There's not a bad place to go, I think.
No, we loved it there. Been there a couple times. So, speaking of, while we're talking about the world, we have to talk about Tirana. So, you live there, you've been living there for a while. When somebody comes to visit your city, what's the best place to shoot on the street? What would you recommend?
Oh my God. I would say the best place to go, in my opinion, is San Lawrence Market. Although it's very busy, but I feel like it's a little, it's very close to downtown, and it's a little, very old part of the city. They have this very beautiful building, which it reminds me of the Flariton building in New York, and it kind of goes like as a triangle. And then there is this big market, and it's a very touristic place, but I felt like if you like looking into action and taking a shot of people at the market, that's a great place to go. I like going down to Distillery District as well. It's very old. I guess also very touristic, but it's pretty. It's a pretty place, and there is a lot of artists. There's a lot of art store. There's always like some kind of like show, like events going on outdoor there every time. So I feel like probably like San Lorenzo Market area is probably the best place to take pictures.
I love Toronto, and I encourage everybody to visit there. Cool place. Well, you know, I'm going to ask you one more thing here. I really like your website. You said early on that you're a minimalist, and your website, I think, follows that style. I guess what went through your mind when you put it together? I mean, I like the fact you've got just have a couple galleries, very simple, great photos. You don't have every photo you've ever shot in there.
No.
I mean, how did you make these decisions, or you know, what conscious decisions did you make when you put it together? Of course, being a graphic designer, that helps.
Well, I wanted to have a website that was easy to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to, they only had like three or four galleries. I feel like nowadays people, they don't have a long, constant, they don't focus on things for a very long time. If we live in a very fast-paced world,
yeah.
Like, I find myself, if I go to a website and I feel like, oh God, instantly I know this website, okay, this is too difficult to navigate, I'm out. And that's a sad reality. So that's why I wanted to get a website. It was easy to navigate, very simple, bright. That's why I use a light white, simple background. And regarding choosing the pictures, yeah, that took a long time to decide what photos I wanted to put in there. And obviously, I chose the picture. They were like, they've been in magazine and chosen by the National Geographic or the New York Times. Those are all in there. But yeah, I can't put all the photos I've taken. I don't even have enough space on my website, to be honest. But I feel like I put a good variety. You know, I feel like they're all different from each other. I feel like less is more. So I don't have a lot of photos, but the one that they are there, they're different, they're strong, they have a message, and and basically that shows like what is there is just my best work, and it comes out as the best work.
So why did you choose to separate color and black and white?
I don't know, actually, man. I haven't thought of that. I feel like they're just two different feelings. I felt they should be separate. I don't like, they're just, they have two different atmosphere, two different feelings to it. And I think that's why I decided to keep them separate.
I always wonder what goes through people's mind. My main business is I'm a web developer, and I always like to know mm-hmm. what people think about when they put these together. If you have good photographs, it's easy to make a beautiful photography website because it's your mm-hmm. photos that are on display. You don't have to create any fancy graphics or anything. You've already done that with your camera. Elena, we're getting close to the end here. I just wonder, do you have anything to share with us? Do you have any exhibits coming up? Are you going to be in National Geographic again? Anything that's happening in your photographic world you want to share?
I don't have any exhibition coming out. I hope to be in the National Geographic again. I do submit my photo to them very often. The only exciting things that, well, not always, an exciting thing is I'm going to be sharing this interview with all my friends, and I'll put it on Facebook and on my Instagram account. So this is what I will share. That's what's coming up, this interview.
All right. That's good. Yeah, this interview is going to come out. I'll be in Cuba when this comes out, so.
Cool.
Hopefully the publication process goes fine. So tell us, where can people find you online? So your website and then Facebook, tell us where they are.
Well, my pictures, like, you can find me on mainly on my website.
Yep.
My Instagram account is mainly for my family, but all my pictures are just on my website. It's alenabaroni.com.
Cool. That makes it very easy.
Yes.
All right, Elena. Well, thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Bob.